All right, so we're going to attempt this morning to draw you into our mission trip, to paint a picture for you with our words, and then eventually you'll get to see some of the pictures of what we encountered out of country. But I want to start with, and I had no idea what Steve was sharing this morning. He told me, I've got an announcement I got to make before I go on. But I want to start with our heart and our vision. And so we wore these shirts as we traveled home this week, and they say, I am, so we are, and we've talked about it, that because of who I am is, we are the church. And our connection to him is what created the possibility of changing the world this week. And these students got to encounter and experience how many, many different people just became one, became a team, and were just the bride of Christ drawing in the community around them. So I want to start this morning. I'm going to invite Jason Kinney up. He's going to tell you a little bit about our training week, because that's really where our trip began, was training the week before this. And there were many entities throughout the week that encompassed. So, Jason.
Good morning. So at some point today, we were in an airport in Houston. I'm not sure when that was. And our youth group was getting away with things that they normally do in public places. In this particular case, I think it was Wayne, Maddie, Kyle, and maybe Kelly that were taking advantage of the high ceiling clearance and throwing chocolate-covered coffee beans high in the air and see if they can catch them with their mouths. And this guy walks up, and he says, who are you guys? He basically introduced himself real quick and says, you know, I've coached high school and college teams. I've traveled with athletes. I know what it's like to carry a bunch of people and travel. And I have never, ever been around a group of people this young and this well-behaved and well-organized. And it was a glow. He just was attracted to the group. And as he was saying that, and of course, the first thing it says is, who's your leader? it sounds like a well-established coach just got coached, which I thought was pretty cool. But that, as he was saying that, I started thinking about this training week. And what we did with the training week was we had 5 days, and we just split each day up into kind of a way of communicating this idea of I am, so we are. And each night was an activity that kind of pushed a thought process into our own minds in preparation for the trip, but also as a team, so that we kind of have a unified way of thinking and acting together as a team and with the church, with Pastor Edgar's church and the community. And I'm just going to briefly say what we did on each of those nights. The first night, the idea was that in each night was we are dot, dot, dot. The first night was we are okay with awkward. You know, we're going to be in proximity with each other and with other people that we don't know, totally on purpose. To serve and love each other, you've got to be with each other. But when you're with each other, very close, it can be very awkward. And so we purposely tidied ourselves together and ate dinner together with our hands tied together. And that's become a tradition for us on these trips, and it's very dirty and nasty, and everyone's giggly, and it's hard, it's tough, and you're shoulder to shoulder, and you're trying to feed each other food and pass food when you're all tied together, and it's extremely awkward. But the key point is being that close to each other is 100% required, but it also means that over time you learn to pull on each other and push on each other in order to accomplish something big. For us, it was eating dinner that night. But we did it. We got a whole dinner done by helping each other eat, which was pretty awesome. So that was kind of our first night. The second night was, the idea was we are focused but flexible. And we had like this puzzle activity, and each team had to put together a puzzle. And you can guess it. We mixed up puzzle pieces, and some teams had other teams' puzzle pieces, and the only way that a team could get another team's puzzle pieces was they had to cut a deal with that team. And that team could make the other team do pretty much what they wanted to get their puzzle pieces. So you can just imagine what young people will make each other do to obtain puzzle pieces. I'll just say that it involves hundreds of burpees and push-ups and running around the room and all kinds of crazy stuff. But the idea behind that was that each team, we had several projects, and you're going to hear about that in a few minutes, but we were spread out all over the city doing different things as teams. But it also meant that we could be focused on what we were working on, but we also had to be flexible enough to adapt to change very rapidly. Because we could be assigned an area or in the middle of working in an area, and Tyler or the pastor or someone else may say they have a need here, and the team has to be willing to switch visions and switch focus very quickly and intentionally. So it was a really neat exercise to get us thinking along that level of being focused but flexible and being intentional about that and be ready for that, not having to respond and be surprised when that's going to happen. The third night was We Are Accomplishing the Unimaginable. And this was another puzzle. There was kind of a theme throughout the week on puzzles. But this is one of my favorites where teams have to put together a puzzle and they work together to see if they can beat the previous time it took them to put that puzzle together. And there are some rules involved. This is something that I do with teams at the shipyard, and the fastest time I'd ever seen this accomplished with a team of executives was 6 seconds, or just under 6 seconds. And one of the teams got it in 7 seconds, which blew my mind. But they didn't like that. In fact, after the evening was over, at like 11 o'clock at night, they come busting back in the room, and they refused to leave until they beat the shipyard record of putting this puzzle together. And so they did, and they did it in 5.35 seconds, which is a new record, yeah. And I took that back to my colleagues at work, and they all bowed down and said that our youth group is better than any executive at any company we're seeing. So the point being that we're going to go to this place, and we're going to be looking at the work we have to do, and we're going to be overwhelmed every day. I was overwhelmed every day. I have a hard time connecting the work of my hands to a finished product, even if I can see the finished product clearly. But it always feels like it's not possible. And we did that. I mean, it was amazing. God just molded the clay perfectly for us to accomplish what we needed to. Night four was, we called it Be Like Bob. Ross, be like Bob Ross. Yep. And there's a picture, which I don't think we have. Probably not appropriate to show in the classroom. But basically, we had a larger picture of a place in the church that we were staying in from a couple years ago. And each person had a small canvas, and they had to paint their portion of that canvas, and their pieces were put together to make up this entire picture. That they only had a glimpse of what the vision is. What they had a clear vision of is what their small component meant to their team's portion of that bigger picture. And the idea was to help our team realize that they can be all in on their individual contribution, and it will rock the world of the people that they're serving. Because when all that's put together, the picture becomes very clear. And it was really cool because when we got there, they got to see the location of where we were at. And even some people went and got pictures taken with that location. And that's another thing you don't want to see up on the screen. Do we have that back there somewhere? If you snoop around the church, you may see the canvas that we painted, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And then the last night was We Are Because I Am. And we flipped this. The shirt says, I am because we are. And we kind of flipped it and said, let's get in a big circle and throw some yarn at each other. And as we threw that yarn, we made statements about each other that were positive, statements that impressed each other, you know, impressed ourselves by other people. And we created a web of connection and just really brought it back to the idea that we're a team going together that's very highly connected. But all we're doing is hopping on an airplane. All we're doing is just going to another Hampton. We're just going down to Costa Rica. It's just another place, but it's the same people, same hearts, same love for Christ, and we're just working on their house, and we're just loving on them. So that was training week. I do want to say real quick that a very special moment for me was watching Megan Doherty. Morgan. Yeah, Sam Doherty. You know, whatever. It really caught me off guard. There was a Tuesday night, and the reason I'm saying this is because it wraps up this entire training week focus for me. And she gave a testimony about the power of how family can pull someone out of a very challenging viewpoint and spot in life. And this young girl was giving her testimony, but then, I don't even know if she realizes it, but she had her fist out and she was preaching. And I looked down and Pastor Edgar's taking notes.
We're tired. We're a little bit emotional, but we have seen God move this week. And I hope you get a little glimpse of this as we continue on this morning. We're going to paint little pictures of every aspect of our trip for you. You get a few testimonies from the students. And hopefully by the end, you're a part of this. We are. And we went as a church. Jeremy, if you'll come up. Jeremy's going to give us just a little insight as to his aspect of the trip and a testimony of how God moved with him.
Thank you. I just wanted to share, I had a story that happened on this trip. Sunday morning, Tyler came up to me and he goes, "Hey, you want to give your testimony today?" And I was just like, well, I can't really say no to him. So I was like, yeah, sure. So I had the story in mind of what I wanted to say, but I didn't know. I just had to kind of go over it and just remember of what I wanted, like how I wanted to say it. So that morning I found out Kyle was also giving his testimony. So I pulled Kyle aside and I'm like, "Hey, do you want to like, I'll give you my testimony and you give me yours and we'll just kind of talk and like, just like give ideas off each other." And he was like, "Yeah, that's great." So we go aside and I tell him my story and he tells me his and I'm like, "Great." And I felt ready. And about a few minutes later, I go back inside and I start writing it out and I start breaking it up to where they can translate it at. And about like 5 minutes before the church service begins, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, there's an important part I forgot out." And I'm like, "Is it relevant though?" And I'm like, I didn't know who to go to. And I was like, "I can go to Oliver or I can go to Carson." And I was just like, there's like something telling me, no, go back to Kyle and go tell Kyle this and see what Kyle thinks and see how Kyle thinks it's relevant. And I go up to Kyle and I tell him like, "Hey man, look, a year ago I was going to share the story and I ended up not sharing the story because where I was going to share it at, somebody talked over me." And Kyle kind of looks at me and he sits back and he goes, "Dude, no way, that happened to me too." And he told me about how he was going to share something and he ended up not being able to share it. And we just kind of like had that bond and we just kind of like talked about it right there. And Kyle goes, "Dude, go up there and say it." He's like, that's relevant. He's like, "If you thought about that, you know you have to say it." And it just kind of showed me how God didn't want either one of us to talk when we were supposed to, and he pushed it back, but he pushed it back for a reason, because me and Kyle both went up there and talked the same day. We both went up there. We both had that moment together that we kind of were just like, wow, like God pushed us back because he didn't want us to talk, because maybe nobody in there at the time needed to hear that, where I was speaking or where here was speaking, and maybe somebody in Pastor Edgar's church really needed to hear that day. And we just kind of really connected, and that was just really, really amazing for me. And it just showed me that God really had a plan for us when he put us through that he was going to still push us through, and he was going to show us, he was going to still make us say it. It was just a year later. And that was that story. And then I had another story about how on Wednesday night, they made us barbecue, and it smelled amazing. And we get it, we sit down. I go in, and Hannah Crow asked me, she's like, "Jeremy, you want some barbecue without having to wait in line?" And I'm like, "Of course." So I pick up the plate, and I try it, and it tastes like every other meat that they made us that week. And I was expecting it to just taste like barbecue, and there was no barbecue sauce on it. And it was, oh my gosh. That next morning, I didn't eat breakfast because it was all rice and beans, and it was all the same, and it just all started to taste the same to me. So that later on that day, it was Sam's birthday, so we stopped by to get Sam a birthday cake, And we stopped right by a Pizza Hut. And I'm like, man, that sounds really good right now. And the next thing you know, they start talking about Five Guys and burgers and stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I sit there and I pray and I'm like, dear Lord, please don't let it be the same meat in another shape or form and taste the same. And I was just like, please, please, please don't let it. I cannot. My stomach just can't handle it. So we get up there Thursday and I hear somebody yell burgers. And I was so excited. I was like, it is not the same meat. Oh my gosh. The Lord answered my prayers right there. And then later on that night, we came back and I was just like, all right, you know, I got burgers earlier. You know, I can eat whatever they give us. And they went out and got us pizza. And I was so excited. So I just thought that was really funny. So, all right, thank you.
God even answers our food prayers. I want to paint a quick picture for you guys of how we ended up at Pastor Edgar's church in Lagunilla, Costa Rica. 2.5 years ago, Stephanie and I connected with Nate and Lauren Norman through Praying Pelican Missions, and we flew down to Costa Rica together to scout out, and they have lots of different pastors and churches that they work with in Costa Rica and really in countries all over the world. And so we went down to see where can New Covenant, where can Shift Ministries give aid to a church down here. And there was lots of needs. There was lots of different pastors that needed help and needed construction projects and help in their community. But the very last one that Stephanie and I visited was Pastor Edgar and his wife Maribel. And we sat and talked with them in their church building and they told us their story. And Pastor Edgar moved there about 10 years ago. He went to seminary, and he and his wife had lived in the city. They had all the amenities that we have here in the United States, air conditioning and all the things that they could ask for. And then the call came for him to come to this church in this very, very small town with dirt roads and shack houses and to be the pastor of this church. And several people have been asked to do it, and none of them would do it. And finally, Pastor Edgar said, yes, we'll take our family and we'll go. And so they moved into this house that was termite-ridden. You could literally see outside through the wood walls. Their son at one point got stung by a scorpion and had to be taken to the emergency room because it just walked right into the house. Maribel has extreme allergies and could hardly sleep at night from breathing issues. And they've lived in this. And so they said, well, we'll move, but we'll work on the house and we'll get it right, honey. And the first year that they move into their house, an earthquake hits and knocks down the church. And so they're having church in just a dirt pile. And pastor and his wife are praying and asking God, why would you send us here? How can we stay here and live this way? And then Praying Pelicans connected with them and said, we're going to send a team and we're going to help rebuild your church. And their faith was uplifted and their church got rebuilt and their community was strengthened. But they slept in this house night after night for 10 years. And I reminded our team before we left this last time that Pastor Edgar had promised his wife that we'll move here and we'll start this church and we'll do this thing, but I'll fix this house for you. And as a husband, to make a promise to your wife to not be able to fulfill, you can only imagine. And for 10 years, they gave and they served their community and they rebuilt their church, but did not have the finances to fix their home. And Stephanie and I immediately knew this is where we're going. And so 2 years ago, we raised funds, and I took a team down, and we tore down the entire back of the house. Pastor Edgar taught himself how to weld and welded up a steel structure, and then we framed up all the walls underneath of it with steel studs, and we put concrete walls up and replumbed it, and Rob ran all the electrical for the whole back half of the house, and they put air conditioner units in it, and Maribel could sleep and breathe easy for the first time in 10 years of their marriage. And we knew. The moment we got back, I called Praying Pelicans and I said, we want to come back and we want to finish what we started. And we committed that 2 years later, we're going back and we're going to finish the rest of that house. And that's what this team is. And that's where we went and that's what we were doing. And that's what this church did. And your pocketbooks and your prayers and we are went and served in Costa Rica. Let's hear a little bit more about what happened down there. We also had the beautiful, wonderful opportunity to serve within their community and do a VBS. And Lakeisha, come on up while I'm talking for a second. Lakeisha Pickering actually just, I don't know if retired is the right word, but she just stopped, ended her teaching career, and she had the time to write this entire curriculum for us. And so we went into Costa Rica, and we did a different program, but the same thing we did here in Hampton. We did the same thing in Costa Rica as we did here. We connected with a community, and Lakeisha wants to tell you a little bit about that.
So God gave me one word, and the word was metamorphosis. And since this team is called Shift, I love wordplay, so it was like metamorphosis shift. If anybody knows anything about me, it's that I'm afraid of butterflies. Just to give you a little bit of background, it's not irrational. There actually is a reason for it. When I was 10, I was walking past a butterfly bush, and I was surrounded by the little white butterflies. Probably about 200 to 300 butterflies surrounded me and chased me. You know, after the first block, rationality goes out the window. You're like, why are they still chasing me? And so, you know, they chased me for a good 2 blocks. And so every time I see them now, like, you know, fight or flight kicks in, but there's no fight. I can't swing at them because I can't imagine touching them. So they're just like, I shrivel up or I run or I throw a kid in front of me, whichever works. So, you know, when he said metamorphosis shift, I was like, uh-uh. Mm-mm. So, you know, I was like, what about shipwrecked? You know, that's cool. I could talk about Paul and how he got shipwrecked. And God's like, no. And would not let me get a single solitary idea about that. And so, meanwhile, thoughts of butterflies and metamorphosis and crafts and games we could play just kept flooding my head and waking me up at night. And I was turning over to my laptop and typing things in. And so this, you know, Tyler asked me to explain my process. And my process was to say, no, please, no, please. I don't want to look up butterflies anymore. I don't want to research them anymore. I don't want to go to a place that's full of butterflies. And God pushed me and challenged me. This process is actually something that can relate to the formation of the curriculum, and it can relate to the week itself. But also, I want you guys to connect to it, because it's this idea that God has created us all for a specific purpose. It's this idea that we all have to grow. We all have to change. And that process is not easy, and it's not often beautiful. But the end result, God is going to use it. He doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste a hurt. He doesn't waste an experience. He doesn't waste any type of trauma that you might go through. If, even though it might seem trivial to other people, he lets you know that he's listening. And every single night, he gave me confirmation that he was. So I'll talk you through what the kids did in VBS. All right. So the first day was an egg. And they learned that they were set apart. And so can you guys repeat that? I am set apart. And they learned that they were created for a specific purpose. And to do that, they ran around and they did a little Easter egg hunt. And they found it and brought it back to their team. And they put a puzzle together as a team. And it was so cool to see them working together. They weren't separated by ages like we are here. They were separated by how they came in. If they came in with their families, Hannah did a great job with registration. And just kind of making sure that the groups were equally distributed so that no one team was overwhelmed. So we had the pavilion. If I could give you a picture of it, it's about, if you were to take the sanctuary and go from that wall and then maybe stop here, that's about the width of it. And it's about the same length from here to there. So we used the first part for the stage and for worship. And, then we used the back for registration. There was a little basketball court there as well. And, we used the middle part. Basically, we put a T in the middle for the four sections. Just to paint an image of it, the first day we had about 60 kids, I think it was 59 kids, and so they, you know, they fit into each little square, and then the next day that number, you know, swelled, and, you know, you noticed that I wasn't, like, necessarily looking for the exact numbers, but I was looking to see how many kids were coming, and then I was noticing that that number was getting bigger, and by the fourth day, we couldn't see the lines on the floor at all. The kids were just filling the entire pavilion, but it wasn't just kids. They brought their parents, and their siblings that sat in their parents' laps. And so the numbers that we have don't even really reflect the number of people that were in that pavilion. The number of kids that played basketball in the back, looking over their shoulder and paying attention to what we were doing, and then came back the next day and sat with us. The number of kids that played soccer in the field and were too cool to be in what we were doing but ran over to participate in the craft. So the numbers don't even adequately, the numbers aren't there, the heart was, and God was all up and through that place. So that first day, that seed was planted, y'all. God was there. He used my hurt to create this lesson, and I promise you, my name is nowhere on that curriculum because I turned over and obeyed. And that is something else that I want you guys to take from it. When you hear God whispering on your heart something that might sound like you don't want to do, if your flesh goes no, then that probably is the Holy Spirit talking to you. So they did the Easter egg hunt. They put the pieces together, and they learned that they were created for a unique purpose. And they saw a picture of a sonogram. And I brought in a picture of my son, Brandon, as a baby. Brandon was not able to travel with us on this trip, but he was woven throughout the lesson, and I didn't realize that it was happening until it did. The second day, we talked about the caterpillar and how we're hungry and we feed on the word of God, and can we have our very hungry caterpillar stand up, please? Yes. So Mariposa Jeremy donned a cheesy red mask. If you've ever read the story to your children, raise your hand for me, please. The very hungry caterpillar. Okay. So that story was actually read to the children in Spanish. Our translator, Eros, is amazing. He read it with dramatic flair, and Jeremy acted it out with dramatic flair. He pulled his cocoon, which was a black plastic bag. Like I told you, it was super cheesy. It was meant to be that way. And the kids cracked up. They were rolling on the concrete in the pavilion, just dying laughing. The parents had tears coming out of their eyes on the sidelines. It was so cool. He wrapped himself up into the plastic bag as the cocoon and then emerged with these purple Dollar Tree wings on his back. Epic. It was amazing. He filled his tummy with the bean bags that we were going to use for the next game, but they ended up being too big, so I'll explain that in a second. But he filled his shirt with them, like pretended to eat them, and put them in his stomach. And so when he turned around, you know, had the big belly, and the kids loved that. And then he had to find a way to get rid of them real quick, so they saw them coming out of his shirt. the game for that day was to feed on the word of God again. So we made like cornhole. So games that we use in America, we just made them, and we, like I said, God just provided ways to make them easy to transport and cost effective and still just very relevant for the kids. They tossed the pom poms into the mouth of the very hungry caterpillar. That day they learned I am growing. Can you guys say that? I am growing. Very good. And then the third day they learned I am changing. And this is the grossest part of the stage of a caterpillar's life. In fact, the word gruesome came up when I was doing my research. Ain't it though? Gruesome, that change, when we go through that change with Christ, it's not very pretty. We are transformed completely from one being into another. And that's not going to be pretty. God's going to have to take out all the ugly and mush it up and mash it up. And I learned that there's like a little caterpillar soup going on in that cocoon. And you can kind of see into it if you get real close, but you can also mess it up. So it's fragile. And we are fragile during that stage. And so just getting that across to the kids was really important. So they made a paper mache cocoon, which is something that I learned how to do from a gender reveal I did. So just little stuff that, you know, that he, again, used. And that day was also the most challenging day for me. Just feeling like it, again, overwhelmed. There was a lot going on, and we were being flexible and trying to deal with, you know, translating in another country. And I think we had 99 kids by that day. And this number was significant. And so after teaching for so many years, you learn that the you're not going to get instant gratification, and you're not going to make everybody happy. And I'm okay with that. But whose faces was I looking to see smiling? The kids. And they were. And so were their parents. And so, as long as I could look out and see the kids and make sure the parents went, then I knew I was okay, right? So they were, and they were happy, and they were loving it. And I was just like, okay, it was really hard, but I sat down at dinner that night, and the translator just came and sat down next to me. And they said, you know, kids here don't get stuff like this. They were like, this is not something that, you know, this is a camp that they would have to pay for. This is not something that people just come and do for them. Other churches don't come. They come and talk to the kids a little bit and maybe play a game with them, but they don't give them crafts and activities. And we have also a verse card that we sent home with them. And it was just something to a visual for them to finish with at the end of the week. And he just said that they said that this is not something that they do. And it was very encouraging. They were like, we see how hard you're working. We see that we were looking through the pictures and we see the smile on your face and it's very real and very authentic. And it was like, oh, that's me. That's where my heart is. God planted that in me. God planted the love for children within me. And so that day they learned that I am changing. Can you guys say that? All right. And now I want you guys to say this one with me because this is where they finished. I am a new creation. And that is right out of the Bible. They are a new creation, and they were that day they ran around and played bubbles outside in the field. We got some great pictures of that as well. That got pretty messy. But we had to make the bubbles, guys, because they did not have bubbles. Right, like we can go right to the Dollar Tree and get bubbles in the store. They didn't have that. So we had to, you know, the kids were great with coming up with, I think it was Brianna and Hannah came up with a recipe for bubbles using dish soap and distributed it throughout the buckets. And we made the wands out of pipe cleaners, something we found on Google. So, yeah, that was cool. And so that last day was pretty amazing. I think we stopped counting at 125. So there, after 125 kids, there were no name tags or colors, you know, to color code them. This was relevant as well because they had school. So they were coming after school. The translator said, you know, you guys had about, you know, 60 and ended up on the last day with 100 because, you know, it was during their week of vacation. And he said, so this number being this high, you know, on day two, you know, around 80 or 90, something like that on day two, was epic because they were coming after, even though they had been in school all day long. They still came and came to VBS for about 2 hours. So just, you know, being encouraged to pray without ceasing, being encouraged that God is listening, that God does not waste a hurt, and that we are new creations in Christ, and encouraged to kind of go out and spread and be bold and spread his word and what he's done for us.
Hello, I'm Sarah. I'm just going to talk a little bit about VBS, if there's more to talk about. Everyone give Lakeisha a round of applause, because that VBS was amazing. It was perfectly planned out. It was beautiful. Like she said, the first day we had around 60 kids, which was a lot for just the first day to me. And then by the end of the week, I think maybe we had around 150 from, you know, because we stopped at 125, but there was still so many more kids. And like she said, they're still attending school. The week before we came was like their school system is a lot different. So they had like a week break. It's kind of like their spring break kind of, but for summer. And we were setting up, and there's a school actually right next to the plaza where we're at. And so all these kids were like at the fence, and they're like screaming, they're like, hi, like, hey, in Spanish. And so I think it was, I don't remember who I went over there with, but I brought a translator with me. And so we were talking to them, we're like, hey, like, you know, you should come, like, when do you guys get out? And I think we were planning on starting at like 2:15, and they got at it 2. And I'm like, oh, like, come. And they're like, yes, we're going to come. And like, they all came. Like, all of them that were over there came. So it was pretty cool. And when I went 2 years ago, I don't remember how many kids we had, but it was so fun making connections with the kids, and like there was a lot less of us. And I was able to you know, connect with the kids. But this time there's so many of us, I kind of sat back and was able to watch other connections made. And it was so fun to see, like, kids, like, meet, like, you see the kids that you knew before and they give you hugs, but they make friends with the people you brought. I told myself I wasn't going to cry. And I'm so tired of crying. And I wanted to mention the clown skits. Each day we had a clown skit that went with the lesson. So if you were a clown, can you stand up? they looked a little bit more funny than that. But it was, you know, in a clown skit, there's not much talking. So it was so cool to see that, it was so fun to watch the kids, like laugh their butts off by, like, just falling on the ground. Like, but it went with the lesson. It was amazing. So, props to the clowns. And also, I want to give a big thanks to the translators, because it's weird talking without having to pause every like half sentence. But they just, it was so easy to connect with, I mean, talk with the kids with a translator. I mean, even without the translator, you were able to, you know, like say a few words. But like without those translators, you know, what would we have done? But it was amazing. And I hope we get to go back one day and do another one.
Thank you, Sarah. Kyle, if you'll come up. I know we're running low on time here, everyone. I appreciate your patience. We've got a couple more things we just want to convey, and then we want to show you the slideshow and draw you into what happened, and then I'll wrap up. Students, we talked about several of y'all doing testimonies, and because we're running low on time, we're going to do that on Wednesday. So Kyle, just give us a wrap-up of, we had two nights this week, that one of them was our team doing ministry, and the other one was the church asked to minister to us. So, Kyle.
Good morning, guys. Before I get going, I just want to emphasize something that everybody has been saying as I speak. This effort was as one. We are one team. We're not sitting over here because we're trying to be different. It's just because we smell so bad. Yeah. All right? So... like Jason was saying with the training week, the two things from the first 2 days I really grabbed onto was being focused but flexible, and secondly, embracing the awkward. So Tuesday night, Pastor Edgar wanted this team to lead the service at his church, kind of like we're doing now. And then Wednesday night, he wanted his church and their prayer team to pray over our team. So I'm going to try and paint a little bit of an image of that as quickly as I can. So Tuesday night. All day Tuesday and even some of Monday night, Tyler's eyes were really bothering him. It's like he tried to weld without a mask or something. Like his eyes were just, like he couldn't really look at somebody like straight in the eyes. So he was out and everybody else kind of stepped up in a way. So there was a lot of amazing moments. For example, like Jason talked about Morgan sharing, kids who didn't have like a lot of experience like talking to people who were kind of like shy in nature, got up and shared vulnerable moments of their life with people that they had just met. And the power of that to this church was so real. In a concrete room, much smaller than this, full of people just completely different backgrounds, different ethnicities, ages, everything. The Holy Spirit met us in that room in an extremely powerful way. We prayed for the sick. It's hard to explain how real of an encounter we came with the Holy Spirit. Wednesday night, when they their church prayed for us. These ladies, they had like a prayer team of like sisters who prayed rigorously. They didn't know us. They didn't know our life story. They literally came into this room and just started praying for us. We were all in a circle, and they kneeled down and they rubbed our feet as they prayed. It was a little weird, but it was incredibly powerful. Like just how willing they were to serve people they didn't know. So, just a quick experience I had. One of the Praying Pelicans, the organization we went with, their leader Nathan, he prayed for me, and it was like he had been with me for the last 6 months of my life. Everything I'd struggled with, everything I was wondering about, he prayed specifically for me, and I just started bawling. I lost it because I knew that the Holy Spirit was using him to tell me. And in that, in the same night, as we're all sitting in a circle, everybody's emotional, everybody's crying. I'm just kind of standing there looking like, wow. And this one name popped up in my head, and I knew that God wanted me to pray for her. So I walked over, I hugged her, I started praying, and later on I found out that she had had it, just as I had an experience with Nate, she had an experience with me. The Holy Spirit used me in that way, and if I didn't drill one screw, if I didn't mix 1 pound of concrete, if I didn't dig one hole, if I didn't make one kid smile, if all my legs were broken, I went to Costa Rica for the sole purpose of praying this one prayer, it would all be worth it. God can use anybody. God can use teenagers to change the world, and he did. Anybody in this room can be used by the Holy Spirit. We hope and pray. One of the other things that we talked about from training week was accomplishing the impossible. And that's my prayer for us as a church this morning, is to accomplish the unimaginable. Like we did in Costa Rica. We prayed for the sick, we fed the hungry, we made kids smile. All these things were accomplished because of us. Not just us, but us in connection with God. Amen.
Thank you, Kyle.
I'll invite anybody in here to the room on Wednesday night. I'm going to have some of these students share their testimonies then as well to the youth group. And if you want to hear a few more of these testimonies, they're of the same vein and of the same kind, that the Lord really met these students and the Lord really used these students. We had the opportunity of finishing that project for Pastor Edgar down to the line of we were supposed to be done by 4:30 or so that we could go back and get showered up on Thursday night. And 4:30 came and we still had a lot of concrete to finish for his porch. And several of the team went back and finished getting themselves ready, and a few of us stayed back to finish that concrete. And we got down, they said, Praying Pelicans said, you have to be done by 6 o'clock because we're eating at 6, and then they want to say thank you and goodbye at that point. Friday, we had kind of a vacation day, and then Saturday we flew off, so we weren't going to see the church again after that point. And 6 o'clock came, and we had a whole nother pile of concrete to mix. And this isn't like open up the quickcrete. This is like dump the sand on the ground, dump the rocks on the ground, and then pour the concrete powder on the ground and just walk around in shovels mixing concrete. And we had a whole nother pile to mix. 6 o'clock was there, and I asked the pastor, I said, we're supposed to clean up, and I know you want to have the service. And in broken English with no translators, because they all went back with the students to clean up, we said we would rather finish this work than eat. And the pastor, I mean, he graciously allowed us to finish that project. And that night, we had the opportunity to listen to testimonies from people in the church. And one of the people who was kind of the project foreman for the church came up and stood in front of us. And it was the testimony of the entire team of New Covenant Church of coming and helping this pastor 2 years ago. He said, you all proved something to us. Many Costa Ricans never finish high school. They start it, but they don't finish. Many Costa Ricans will begin a new job, but then get tired of it and just quit.
But you all did an amazing thing for this church and these people in finishing the work that you started. And he thanked us. And he commented on our concrete, and they had commented to Lakeisha the same thing about our VBS, that we ran out of time and we were supposed to get everybody out of there and we needed to go on, move to the next thing. And and they pushed through. And through that, several kids came and received Christ because they stopped and they said, we're not leaving until this work is done. Church, we finished a work that we started years ago. And we came together as one with the people of Costa Rica and allowed them to minister to us, and we ministered to them. It was not them, it was not us, it was we. Tuesday night, as Kyle described, I must have just seen one of the welds, and my eyes were on fire. And just before the service started, I got a note from Nate that Benaiah was in the hospital. I'm sure many of you guys heard the story. At the time, we didn't know how bad it was going to be, but I was checked out. I was done. And I sat in pastor's house and wept and listened to the service. And these students and these people ushered in the Holy Spirit to a community in a way that was indescribable and powerful. God moved in a mighty way through our hands of construction, through our voices of prayer and praise. And we thank you, church, for sending us. We really were the bride of Christ being used to draw community to him. Thank you, New Covenant. Thank you for sending us. I'd really like a team to stand up and just walk across the room and spread out throughout the room. I want to end this trip the same way that we began it in prayer last week. Just spread out all over. Walk into the aisles. It's not our team and y'all. We are the church. I'm going to close in prayer. Just reach your hand around somebody around you. We thank you for going with us in prayer. We thank you for sending us with your finances. And we hope that you get to hear more stories and testimonies about what God accomplished through these beautiful people in Costa Rica. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit that moves. We thank you that it is not limited by time, by space, by where we are, but God, you have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Lord, that you want us to give of ourselves when we have nothing left to give, that somehow through our hurt, you're going to create something new. God, use us in our lives right here in Hampton. Use us in our lives where we stand and where we sit. Allow us to use our finances, Lord, our prayers, Lord, our skills and our talents to glorify your name and see your kingdom brought to our own communities, to our own peoples. Utilize us, Lord, around this world and around our neighborhoods. Thank you, God, for each student. Thank you, God, for each person in this building that prayed for us and took time to be on this team with us. Thank you, Lord, that we are. And it's because of who I am is. God, we bless your name and we glorify you through all the works that we've done. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. We go from here today blessed and encouraged and excited about what is going to be next for each and every one of us. Use us, God. Here we are. Send us. In Jesus' precious name we pray this morning. Amen.